This is Nick Geyer, the Palouse Pundit, asking why former deans have to retain their high salaries. Deans have the toughest job in today's universities, primarily because they sit uneasily between their faculty and upper administration. They are caught between representing faculty interests and conforming to the dictates of the upper administration. Deans at European universities have an easier time resolving this dilemma. Unlike our deans, who are appointed by the upper administration, European deans and presidents, according to a tradition that goes back to medieval times, are democratically elected and thereby totally accountable to the faculty they represent. Universities are being run more and more like corporations, and higher education administrators have become academic CEOs with ever larger compensation. From 1982 to 2005, UI administration salaries have increased 251%, while full professor salaries have increased only 154%. The cost of living during that time went up 193%. In the old days, if new administrators were chosen from the UI faculty, they were given a 12-month salary and an administrative increment. This is not the case anymore. When I started teaching it in 1972, UI President Richard Gibb made three times as much as I did, but now President Tim White makes seven times more than new assistant professors. More and more deans are also hired on the open market at much higher salaries than ever before. It was also understood that when administrators returned to teaching, they would receive a 10-month contract and lose their administrative bonus. But that has not happened for many years. In some instances, but not always, there's a step-down agreement with some reduction in salary. There's one benefit that former deans receive that I believe is well-earned. After grueling years straddling the fence between faculty and administration, former deans who stay on campus are given sabbatical leave so they can retool for the classroom and restart research projects. As I look at the faculty union salary surveys for the past 5 years, I note the following examples. An associate dean of liberal arts earned $8,100 per month in 2005, but now she's back in her department at $9,100 per month. Her department colleagues make an average of $5,200 per month. I'm rounding off to the nearest $100. The liberal arts dean recently resigned in disgrace, and he's now on sabbatical earning his dean's salary of $137,000 a year. As in the case of private industry, there's no discount for poor performance. The former dean of art and architecture makes $8,600 per month, but the current interim dean makes only $7,700 per month. The other full professors in the college earn monthly salaries of $7,100 a month. The former dean of business experienced no step-down reduction and stays at $137,000 per year. In 2005, a former dean of engineering returned to the UI after 5 years in private industry at a monthly salary of $10,600. His successor was still on the faculty at $11,800 per month. That same year, the average monthly full professor salary in their department was $8,400 a month. This issue is especially crucial when 24 U of I staff employees have been laid off because of funding cuts, and students are paying higher fees and walking into ever larger classes. Administrators work very hard for their high salaries, but surely not 97% harder than their equally diligent faculty. Former deans return to their departments with automatic tenure. They are awarded sabbaticals without competing for them. But there's no way to justify this huge advantage over their peers, on which they build financially for the rest of their careers. This is Nick Geyer, the Palouse Pundit, requesting that you send your comments to nickgeyer@adelphia.net or check out my website at www.nickgeyer.com.